Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. It's good to be with you guys. This last week of school, my, how the year has flown by. And talk about Sarah saying how many faculty. Every year, I get a bunch of new freshmen. And I look forward to that. But I look forward to the freshmen this year being sophomores, and the sophomores, juniors, and well, I get lost by them. I ask seniors, don't I, seniors? I ask seniors. So what year are you? You're a sophomore? And they'll look at me with that smile and say, Brother Spencer, I'm graduating. Oh, my word. But that's why you're here. This morning, I want to talk to you about this thought, what's in it for us. What's in it for us? The Bible says in Matthew 19, verse 22, concerning the rich young man, that he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And notice verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? There's that thought this morning. Peter, in listening to the interchange between the rich man and Jesus, and then Jesus pointing out how difficult it is, especially for people that have riches, to enter into heaven. Peter had this thought, well, I don't have any riches, and anything I had, I've given up to be with Jesus. Listen, everyone in this room, pretty much everybody, is at some stage of following Jesus. For the freshmen, they've spent almost a year following Jesus. And I'll bet with a lot of my young brothers and sisters, because it sure was this way with me when I sat my freshman year wondering, is it really going to be worth it? What am I going to have? Am I going to be able to make it? God, are you going to be able to support me if I get married and have a family? Then there are those that are seniors. They're going to graduate. They've worked very hard for 4 years. And maybe they have a little more faith than the freshmen, but they're still wondering, Lord, where will we land? Are you going to, I'm getting married. Are you going to be able to take care of us? Lord, we've given you 4 years of our life. Can I tell you, young people, there's a bunch of us older folk that are sitting here. We've been doing it a long time. And maybe our faith is a little bit stronger yet, because after all, 40 years for me this May, 40 years married and 40 years in ministry, God has taken care of me. But don't think that you arrived in a place in your life serving in ministry that those thoughts don't come back occasionally. Peter said something that Jesus will answer, but he answers by telling a parable. It's called the parable of the workers in the vineyard. This is not about salvation. No one works for salvation. And I don't believe it's about rewards in and of themselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:8, Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What Jesus is speaking about in the parable of the workers in the vineyard, chapter 20, is answering Peter's question. Again, notice Peter said, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? I want you to see as we go through this parable that Jesus is addressing Peter's thoughts and really the thoughts of all God's people in this room today and maybe many across the airways. That to serve Jesus Christ, yes, it will cost something. But could you and I come to the place where we think it's not worth it? Or, Lord, what are we going to get out of this? What's in it for us? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I want you to make a note that at the end of this parable, Jesus almost repeats that last verse. Because he's trying to get through to Peter, and can I tell you to me? Because all of us, no matter if we're freshmen, seniors graduating, faculty, staff, when we make the conscious decision, I will follow Jesus, occasionally you may stop. Or the world may whisper, or maybe not whisper, may taunt you and say, hey, is it really worth it? What are you going to that school for? You know how many times, like many of you, I'd work jobs and people would say, so what are you doing here in Wisconsin? I said, well, I'm going to Bible college. What are you doing that for? What are you training? Where are you going to be? A preacher. Really? And you get that weird look from them, like, why would you want to do that? You're young and strong and you have your whole life in front of you. I had a lot of friends in California growing up at that time when literally the name Silicon Valley was being given. I came home my first summer after being in Bible college and my whole world was different. You know, when we moved to San Jose in 1968, Dad was stationed there in the Navy. I remember the big sign as we drove in. I was the oldest, 11, and I looked up and it said, Welcome to San Jose, prune capital of the world. And just a handful of years later, I come home and the news and people at church are all abuzz about the computer chip and computers. And it became Silicon Valley. And young men my age, I remember coming home my senior year and my dad was telling me, Son, did you know there's young men in this valley here that are multimillionaires that are younger than you are? Well, I thought, that's interesting. Hey, listen, don't think that it's just your freshman year you think these thoughts. Don't just think it's your senior year while you're graduating. The devil has a way of whispering that to older saints, men who've been so faithful with their wives. What's in it for us? I want you to see quickly these things that Jesus was teaching Peter and us that we're not to think about God. By the way, I just mentioned in passing, in verse 29, when Peter said, what's in it for us? Did you read about what's in it for the faithful believer? 100-fold? Wow. Now, I will say, being in ministry 40 years, and there's some folks in this room that have been serving in ministry longer than that. We don't always look at what we have here. By faith, we look at what we'll have there. But I can tell you, there's not a faculty staff member I know of that's starved, that's lived in poverty. Nonetheless, sometimes we think what's in it for us. Number one, I want you to see in the first five verses, God does not want us, nor Peter, to think that God expects us to work for nothing. To work for nothing. Chapter 20, verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, he sent them into the vineyard. It's very important. In my Bible, I just underline that word agreed. Verse 3, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. Notice, he went out, the first group he found, they had to make an agreement. Now that's Peter's group. I'm just telling you ahead of time. That's Peter's group in this parable. That word agree is the word we get symphony from. There had to be harmony between the householder and those laborers he was hiring. He could not just say, as he did when he went back at 9 in the morning, noon, and 3 in the afternoon, and hired men. Notice the men never said anything. They just said, you'll hire us? All right, we'll work for you. Nothing was said about the salary. You see, we need to take note that that first group of laborers had to make an agreement. They had to say to themselves, look, let's just haggle until we decide what's in it for us. But the 9, 12, and 3 o'clock crowd, they went to work. But notice, brethren, listen, they trusted the householder to pay whatever he saw fit. God did not want Peter nor us to expect that he, when he calls laborers into the harvest, that he wants us to work for nothing. Number two, notice in verses 6 and 7, God does not expect us to remain idle either. Verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Now this is 5 o'clock, roughly 5 in the afternoon. There's only another day, hour of daylight. And he said, what are you standing around for? Verse 7, they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Again, notice they did not have to make the householder sign a contract. But the householder did note they had wasted time. The Lord will not accept the excuse that we are idle because no one has agreed to pay us. Unlike most of the lifestyles and careers that so many of you young men and women, your friends and siblings, they've been able to go into agreements with companies. They've been able to say, this is my career. This is how much money I'll be making. My word, when I'm 50, 55, I can retire. I'm making all these agreements. But Jesus says in this story that the householder, which you know represents the father, never expects his children to stand around waiting. You know, one of the, maybe it sounds childish, but one of the things after I tried to do what I wanted over and over and over again, and I had all kinds of ideas for God, but he saved me at 8 years of age and called me in ministry at 12. And from 12 to 17 years of age, I tried everything I could think of, ending up with the Navy. My dad was career Navy. Telling God I'd be a chaplain. Wouldn't that make you happy, God? You see, I kept trying to get God to agree with me. But God kept saying, nope. No, Joel, I called you. You remember that night at 12 years of age, the last night of camp? You agreed to just serve me? And I said, yes. Well, then why are you remaining idle? Well, God, I'm trying. I've been looking into this and that. He said, but not to be a preacher. You see, God, number one, does not want any of his children to believe that he wants you to serve him and not do it for nothing. Number two, he does not want his children remaining idle. Quickly, number three, look at verses 8 through 11. He does not want us to think he has acted ever unjustly. Verse 8, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, that's 5 in the afternoon, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, that's Peter's group, you know, that's the first group that agreed, that had to have a contract. They supposed that they should have received more. You see, remember, they had agreed for a penny for a day's work. But Jesus says that the householder tells the steward, call them all in and start with the ones that only worked 1 hour. Give them a penny or a day's wage in that day. And they likewise received every man a penny. In other words, when the first group came by, they had seen the householder give a penny to the 5 o'clock, a penny to the 3 o'clock, the noon, the 9 o'clock. So they just thought, well, then we should be getting more because after all, we made an agreement and we worked a lot harder. And when they had received it, they only got a penny. They murmured against the goodman of the house. You see, this last group had trusted the householder, but the first group had no complaint, did they? Because they received on what they insisted. Now, listen, you're already seeing the danger of Peter's thought. Jesus is trying to get Peter to acknowledge, and really us today. I wonder if that's what keeps so many young people that are born again, raised in Christian homes, from answering a call to ministry. Because listen, we're at a point now that people are, even some pastors are starting to wake up. And they'll call or email the school and say, where are the young people? Well, I don't have the answer to that. And I'm certainly not the Holy Spirit. I work for Him, but I'm not the Holy Spirit. But I can say within the young people in this auditorium, we need to be careful. If we ever start thinking, is this really worth it? Listen, God does not want you to ever think that He expects you to work for nothing. Number two, God does not want you to ever think that it's okay to just remain idle. God wants you right now to get busy for His work. And there's unique ways that you guys have been finding out. Not only the church you go to, but the kinds of ministries that the Holy Spirit and your local church pastors are trying to encourage you in. Number three, God does not want us to think He ever acts unjustly. Number four, verses 12 and 13. We should never be unhappy when God does good things for others. We should never be unhappy when God does good things for others. And listen, if I were to pick a group, the freshmen who've just almost finished a year, and maybe they're wondering, is it worth it? What am I going to get out of this? Not even the seniors who've been working so hard for 4 or 5 years. What's going to happen to me? Was it worth it? What am I going to get out of this? This is a problem for us older people in ministry. You see, we've been doing ministry for a while and we look at others in ministry. And sometimes could we begin to think, have unhappy thoughts when God does good things for others in the ministry? Or at least things that we perceive that He's not done for us. Look at verses 12 and 13. Saying these last have wrought but 1 hour. These 5 o'clock people, Mr. Householder, these 5 o'clock, they only worked 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? The first group got aggravated when they watched what the other groups get from the householder. They, like many of believers today, make the mistake of comparing themselves with others, which Paul said was unwise in 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. My friends, this morning, I'm not preaching something that I have not struggled with, but I'm learning as I get older that I need to learn to trust Christ. Not just when I started, but even now after 40 years. God does not want us to think that God would ever ask us to serve Him without taking care of us. Number two, remaining idle. Number three, thinking that He acts unjustly. Ever. Number four, being unhappy when He does good things for other people. Number five, notice verse 14, thinking that all God's servants will be rewarded equally. Thinking that all God's servants would be rewarded equally. That's very dangerous. Verse 14, He says, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Jesus was saying, if you expected me to give all my labors the same, you're not God. You know one thing I've learned, guys, being a little bit older now? It's going by fast. Just ask Brother Lucan and me. Ask Dr. Scoville. It's going by fast. Did you know God? We often look at the success of men and women who've been in ministry and they've had books written about them. You know what I've been learning? I know nothing about the heartache those people have been through. I know nothing about the real heartache, heartbreak, sometimes terror that some of them have been through. It's possible to be a missionary after 20, 30 years and to come home and hear about all these other missionaries did this and this. But often we don't know what that missionary family went through. I tell young men, they're just going to have to experience. You have no idea what it's like to pastor. You have absolutely no idea. You think you know a lot because you have pastors that are teaching you. And they pour themselves into you and they talk about ministry. But let me tell you something. You'll find out real soon. And I think of the men and women through the almost two years of COVID. I don't know how they've done it. I've watched younger pastors really do a magnificent job. Brother Ogle, I thought about, man, if I were that young pastor, church planner again, how in the world? But they're doing it through God's grace and by God's strength and calling. God's been teaching me, Joel, you're not me. I know how to reward my servants. And no, not all of you are going to be rewarded the same way with the same amount. But lastly, and maybe this is the most important thing for Peter, God does not want us to question the goodness of God. God does not want us to ever question the goodness of God. Look at verses 15 and 16. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. What's in it for us reveals sometimes our pride and our selfishness. Yet Jesus was warning Peter and us today, how do you know you'll get anything? Why do you have such expectations? You see, the problem is, Jesus said in verse 30 and again in verse 16, when we try to make us number one, we're going to end up last. When we trust the great householder, our Heavenly Father, when we sometimes may look to the world and even sometimes to our own family as being last, but we know we're last because of Christ and how much we love and serve Him, Jesus says, you'll be first. We must be aware of watching others, measuring ourselves by others. We may see the worker, we may see their work, but God has been watching the whole time their heart. Most of all, we should never criticize our heavenly householder, feeling we have been left out. When we trust the goodness of God, we will be dealt with by a most generous God. Let us not complain, for this will reveal that we are not fully yielded to the Master's will. My friends, this morning, God does not want you like He detected in Peter, ever thinking that God wants you to work for Him but do it for nothing. Number two, God does not want you to think that it's okay to remain idle. Number three, to ever think that God acts unjustly. Number four, that we should never be unhappy when God does something good for someone else. You know, I remember us having testimonies at Maranatha, and I remember students getting up and saying things like, you know, someone paid my school bill off, or someone gave me a car, and on and on. I never got that. I had to work 40 to 50 hours every week, plus do everything else we were trying to do in Bible college. But you know, God really convicted my heart one day, because it caused the devil to use that thinking. He could hear me thinking and maybe talking in my dorm room, being a little snarky and questioning things. And one day, God convicted me because I was whining to a roommate about chapel. Someone getting up and saying it was either a car or someone had given the money. And my roommate, and you know, I always thank God for roommates, the nerds, of which I was one. I remember him looking at me and him saying, Joel, but God's given you strength. And God's given you such a good mind. Have you ever missed work? You know, I stopped because I thought, here I work all winter in Wisconsin. I'd only missed one day. I thought, that is a little weird. That is a little unusual. Oh, I went to work sick sometimes. Went to classes having worked 11 at night till 7 in the morning. Yeah, I was tired, but I thought, God's paying my bill. God's giving me. He's chosen to use me the way He wants to use me. And who am I to complain? Number 6, thinking that all God's servants will be rewarded equally. And lastly, questioning the goodness of God. Are you here this morning? You came into chapel and maybe you were minding your own business, wondering about so many different things, including finals. But have you had this more long-distance thought? Is it worth it? You know, Peter would say it this way. Behold, and that word means he was getting Jesus' attention. Hey, listen here. Jesus, we have forsaken all and followed thee. You know, the way you told us to. What shall we have therefore? Maybe God's speaking to your heart this morning. You might as well let God work on it now while you're young, because it'll come back. And maybe we never quite get away from it because we live in this sinful flesh. But I will stand here and say, up to this point in my life, God's been pretty good to me. That doesn't mean that I move myself up to number one, because what did Jesus tell us? You start doing that, Joel, you'll be last. It is a shameful thing to the world that a man would give his whole life. I had a family member say to me just recently, as they were asking how we're doing, and, you know, we're doing fine. How's your retirement? And I said, well, I don't think about that. And I really don't. I plan. But I, you know, as long as God gives me strength, I'd like to keep doing what God's called me to do. And they said, well, Joel, you've never been really that wise. And I knew what they were saying, but I just kind of smiled and said, well, my attitude is this. I'm going to leave it up to the God that I love. Folks, if you came in today discouraged, thinking, what's in it for us? It's 100-fold. If you're here and you're a senior and you don't have your assignment yet and you begin to question and think, why am I thinking like this? I did this as a freshman. I should know better than this. No, you're human. And maybe you're a little bit like Peter today. Jesus said, Peter, just remember who to keep first. That's me. You keep me first and you last. In the glory to come, you'll be first. Folks, it's worth it. Amen. By faith, did you hear me? By faith, it's worth it. What's in it for us? The mind can only imagine through the eyes of faith. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, thank you for these young people. Thank you for the older faithful ones, Lord. Help us to remember what you taught Peter and us today. With every head bowed and eye closed. Are you saying today, you know, Brother Spencer, I came in today minding my own business, but you hit a nerve. The Word of God hit a nerve. You see, I have been struggling a little bit about this. I guess maybe as a freshman, I made a decision to come back for a 4-year degree, and I've been kind of wondering, because of many different voices, is it worth it? What's in it for me? But God spoke to my heart this morning. I'm asking my Father in heaven to keep me from thinking bad like Peter. Maybe you're a senior, you don't have a place to go, a person to marry, and you think, wow, all that money. It's been hard, but I've enjoyed it, and God's shown me so much. But Brother Spencer, I'm admitting, I've been wondering like Peter. We forsook all. I forsook all, and I've been following him. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and it reminded me I need to be last, because he's first. And he'll give me far beyond anything I could expect or ask. I hesitate to ask for my older brothers and sisters who've been so loyal and so faithful. Has God spoken to you? I know he can. He does to me. Heavenly Father, do your work for your glory. Remind us what we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.